Today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 24, which can be found on page 994 of your pew Bibles. In the lectionary, this is traditionally the day in the calendar that we celebrate the baptism of the Lord Jesus. And here is Luke's account of that. So listen for the word of God to you. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whom sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all, that he locked John up in prison. When all of the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized as well. And as he was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today from many different places, but all of us at some point in our lives question what we are worth. That's because, like all the things in this world, we were not meant to be filled with, but we are meant to be filled with you and with your Son, to become sons and daughters of God. That is what we are made for, and so we are worth so much more than the world may see. Help us see that worth today. Lord, any words that I say that are not of your will, I ask that they fall to the ground and be forgotten. But whatever I say that is of your will, I ask that embed in hearts and bear good fruit unto the kingdom of God. Lord, let us not hinder your word, but feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. So when we are in love, we are willing to pay a pretty high price for our beloved because we believe them to be priceless. Often we see people do very creative things in marriage proposals, in engagements. I looked up some pretty creative engagement stories online, and here's what I found. One man created a custom Monopoly set for his engagement. He hid the engagement ring under the luxury tax space. Another man who was a Star Wars fan gave his beloved a lightsaber, a Sith lightsaber, with the message, "Join me and we can rule the galaxy as husband and wife." That might be something I might do one day. People who know me know that that is true. Another man did a Pride and Prejudice-themed marriage proposal with Victorian-style outfits. I'm sure there are some of you ladies who are sad that that man is taken. Another man did a engagement using a dolphin, either in the ocean or in a dolphin take. He had a dolphin hold a buoy that says, Will you marry me? Though the dolphins are mammals, I think that story is still a little fishy. I'm sorry, I had to get that in there. You see, in our passage, in our call to worship today, in Isaiah, God is expressing his deep love for his people, for the nation of Israel. You see, God's love is not like our love. It's not based on our appearances, our accomplishments. It's not based on a need for relationship. God has no need for relationship. He had no need to create anything or anyone to worship him, but instead he did it out of his steadfast love, under his abundant mercy, out of his pleasure. He created everything and he created us to be filled with his love. But while God chose us in the Garden of Eden, we did not choose God. We walked away and chose to fill ourselves with other things. Still, God made a plan for redemption, and it began when he chose a people from himself, and he brought them out of Egypt with an outstretched hand, with signs and wonders. He says he'll sacrifice anything for his people, nations for his people. And yet in Isaiah, his people find themselves in exile in Babylon because they, again, did not choose God, because many things vie for our hearts in this world. And perhaps that's how we feel today in our lives, in our families, in our nations, in our churches. Perhaps we feel like exiles in a foreign land, even in our own homes. But the good news today is this. When we honor God's Son, we will become priceless. When we honor God's Son, we will become priceless. This is God's plan for redemption. To understand this, we have to understand a little Old Testament context about redemption. I know the Old Testament is hard to read, but you really can't understand what the New Testament is saying without understanding the Old Testament concept of redemption. In Isaiah 43, our call to worship, the word for redemption is a word that those of you who study the book of Ruth might know. It's the word kinsman redeemer. Now, not to get into that book a lot, but the legal concept comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, every culture has a way of providing for those who are in trouble, as a way of providing for widows and orphans. And in the Old Testament culture, in Hebrew culture, what they would do is when a wife's husband died, they had a rule that the brother, the closest relative, would marry the widow. And to do that, there would be a bridal price. You would have to liquidate some of your land. There were no banks, so it was a very expensive process to pay for that. And the child that resulted from your union did not legally belong to you. It belonged to your brother, your dead brother. Because the Hebrews didn't have a huge concept of the afterlife, all their idea of life was tied up in the family. So to be your brother's keeper was a very, very expensive proposition. Because you would have to give up some of your inheritance for your children and give it to your brother's children who are dead. It didn't make any sense. It was not in your favor to do it. You did it out of selfless love for your brother. And in that culture, sons and daughters were treated differently. We know that to be wrong. Jesus shows us that was not God's intent. But in that culture, for your line to continue, for a woman to be provided for, you had to have a son. Without it would mean certain death. And thus we see Jesus, his value for both men and women in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verse 11. There's this story where a widow is going through town with her dead son. And Jesus comes and raises him to life. Now, in any culture, losing a child is the most horrible thing that could ever happen to a person. And if that's happened to you today, I weep with you. And I mourn with you. And it feels like the end of the world. But for this widow, it was the end of the world. Because she had no hope. She had no life. Without her son, she would starve to death. And everyone would let her starve to death. Because that's the way things were back then. But Jesus said, no, this is my daughter too. And she is priceless. And he raised her son back to life and gave her son back to her. Not only did he give her son back, she gave her very life back to her. You see, because we object to a lot of culture in the Old Testament, we don't understand what God is saying when he tears the heavens open and he says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. He's saying, this is my life. This is my world. This is something, someone priceless to me, who's worth more than anything I ever created, because he was there before the foundations of creation. So in John 3:16, when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish." What God is saying is the world is full of widows. We are empty and we have no life without his Son. And even though all of creation cannot compare to the glory of his Son, he gave us his Son. He gave us a priceless gift. And yet we only recognize that gift on Christmas and Easter. But it's a priceless gift. He is a priceless gift. And when we see his value, he gives us the power to have his life. The power to be sons and daughters of God. And you could sell all the world, every car you ever owned, and you can never get that. But Jesus gives us that freely because we can't pay for it. You know, I was thinking about this idea of a value of a priceless gift. And it reminded me of something that happened to me over Christmas break. For those of you who've listened to me, you know, I became an uncle recently. Now, generally, the Bible says you should not boast. But boasting about your nephew, I think that's cool. I think you can do that. I think the Bible is completely legit with that. And he's a cute guy. He's a cute guy. And he had a hard time getting into the world. That's another story. You can listen to that later. But over Christmas, something really strange happened. It was last Saturday. Actually, I was in the basement. I was sleeping on the couch. It was a crowded house with the grandparents and everyone in town. And I was just watching a sci-fi show, I do believe. And I heard a thud come from the kitchen. And I heard someone cry out. And my heart leapt in fear. I was like, no, not Rowan. I just knew that something was wrong. And I ran up, as well as everyone in the household ran to the kitchen. And what had happened is Rowan's grandmother, not my mother, but my brother-in-law's mother, had been sitting on a stool, which is probably about the size of this stool right here, and a kitchen stool sitting at the kitchen counter, and a freak accident happened. The bolts to the stool came undone on the stool, and she fell backwards with Rowan in her arms, and she didn't have time to think. She just held on to him in her maternal instincts for dear life, and the thought I heard was her hitting the floor. Thanks be to God that she walked away with only bruises, and Rowan didn't even cry out. He cries more when he's hungry than when he's falling in peril, because what does he know? He's a baby. What does he have to be afraid of when he's wrapped in the arms of love? Because Scripture says perfect love casts out fear. And thank God that worked out. But I think that story is a metaphor of the spiritual state we all find ourselves in. Because whether we know it or not, Scripture says we're all falling. We're all falling, and at the end of that fall is a threshing floor, Scripture says. And the wheat will be divided from the chaff, and you don't want to be the chaff. And the thing is, you can't break your fall. You can try to make a parachute, to do it yourself, to grow into a powerful adult. But Scripture says to enter the kingdom, you got to be like my nephew. You got to be like a helpless baby, because until you're helpless, you can't receive help from the Lord. But when you do, you will be wrapped in the arms of love. But Scripture says that the value of his Son, of God's only Son, is hidden from us. It says that no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone whom he chooses to reveal him to. And even we as Christians today may not know the priceless gift we have been given, but he says if you ask, you will receive that your joy may be complete. So let us ask him today to reveal to us the priceless gift of his Son, that we too may become priceless. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.